Celtics lose for the first time at home. Brad Stevens doesn't seem too concerned, although Kemba Walker does have one concern of his own. It's the Friday Locked On Celtics podcast. Millie's, let's go.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Jay's back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. The crowd goes crazy. Most in-depth coverage on the daily. Mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings. Focus like Danny at the deadline. Global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line. Play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day. Trying to stay in tune with the C's, it's the best way. Melly.
Tough one for the Boston Celtics. At home on Thursday night on a back-to-back, they lose to the Philadelphia 76ers, 115-109. I'm John Corrales of MassLive.com, here to talk about the game. I got to tell you, this back-to-back, it's harder on me, I think, than it was on the team. Starting my day in Indianapolis, and then flying from Indy to Philly, Philly to Boston, to watch Boston take on Philly. It makes for a long day, and I don't know how these guys do it, actually. You get a little bit of an appreciation for the difficulty of this, even though I fly commercial and they fly private. It's still a grind. It's still a grind. And so, but the Boston Celtics, to their credit, did not come out and lay an egg. They didn't have one of those classic back-to-back kind of struggles. I wouldn't have known it was a back-to-back. They came out and played pretty well in this game. They outscored Philly pretty easily in the by six in the first quarter. And then it was close. This was a close game the whole way. The Philadelphia 76ers got 38 points from Joel Embiid. He shot 12 of 21. He took 14 free throws. He hit 12, hit 2 of 3 from 3, 13 rebounds, 6 assists. Let's start right there. Embiid, the Celtics double-teamed Embiid for a good portion of the game. And early on, they got the ball out of his hands, and he got some early assists. I thought Joel Embiid handled the double-teams that Boston was throwing at him pretty well. Boston tried a little bit of zone. That didn't really work all that great. They doubled. They were late doubles. They kind of doubled off of Ben Simmons a bunch. Embiid just kind of torched the Celtics. They had no real answer for him, at least defensively. Now you might think, well, that shows that the Celtics need a center. They need somebody that can bang with Embiid and blah blah blah. I didn't come away with this with that takeaway, because you look at Daniel Theis and Enes Kanter, the two guys that got all of the center minutes in this game, and they combined for 36 points. And as Brad said after the game, you kind of sign up for that, because who are you going to get that is going to guard Embiid? Who are you going to trade for that's going to guard Embiid? Embiid kind of torches a lot of guys. The only guy that you can trade for that can guard Embiid is Embiid's teammate. And pretty confident that the Sixers aren't going to trade Al Horford to the Boston Celtics. So that's about it. There aren't a lot of guys that can guard Embiid when he's playing like this. And that's been part of the issue for Embiid this year, is that he doesn't play like this all the time. He has times where he disappears. And this type of game, this is when people pick him to be an MVP. Like a lot of people preseason picked Embiid to be an MVP. This is the type of game you're looking at. This is the he does everything. There's nothing you can do to stop him type of game. No one is stopping him. Even if they had Al Horford, I don't know if Al Horford was stopping him in this game. So it was just a big time performance from Embiid. Like I said, on the plus side, Kanter and Theis kind of counteracted that a little bit. And if you can come out of a game with Philly and you're outscored by Embiid, your centers, these centers are outscored by Embiid by just two. That's a big deal. I think that gives you, you say, all right, I'll take that. And you give your wings, your strength, the chance to win this game. Now, the big problem for the Celtics was that for the second straight game, Jason Tatum struggled. He hit a couple of big threes late in the game to give Boston a chance. And those took stones, man. They really did. But overall, 5 of 18 shooting, 3 of 8 from 3. So prior to that, he was 1 of 6. Only 2 free throw attempts, 4 assists, 3 rebounds for Tatum. 15 points overall. Bad night. Bad night for Jason Tatum. You can throw Jaylen Brown in the mix here too, because he only shot 3 of 9. He had 8 points. Bad night for Jaylen Brown. I just did the show the other day with Tony East of Locked On Pacers, and he said, Jaylen Brown averaging 20 points is unfair. This is the type of game from Jaylen and Jason that kind of runs counter to everything that we've been saying. Just a couple days ago, we were talking about those guys potentially being all-stars, and they very well could be all-stars. I'm not going to overreact to one game, because everybody has bad games. We just talked about Embiid having bad games, and he's a lock all-star, and he's going to probably be somewhere in the MVP voting. Guys have bad games. That's just going to happen. And maybe some of that was a bit of a back-to-back issue for them. Going back to Jason, Jason, I think, was pressing for a little bit. There was a stretch where he was just missing shots. And I think he just got it in his head that he wanted to attack, but he didn't want to go all the way and attack Embiid. And he threw up probably 3 or 4 really bad floaters that the way he shot them, he kind of flicked them up there. And I know we talked about it earlier in the season that he kind of relied on those floaters a little bit, and he seemed to be trying them a lot. He threw a bunch of them up in this game because I don't think he really wanted to go at Embiid. I personally, if you're turning the corner and Embiid's right there, go at him. I say just say go attack him, because I think Tatum can get over Embiid. I think Tatum can go up there and match Embiid at the rim. Go for it. See if you can get him in foul trouble. I thought for a couple of instances early on in that third quarter, the Celtics did a good job of attacking Embiid, and he finished with 3 personal fouls, but he picked up a couple in rapid succession. And I thought, dude, this guy is going off. Why not attack him and force him to make decisions? Put Kemba Walker in a pick and roll with Tice or Cantor. Put either Tatum or Brown in a pick and roll. Brown doesn't run a lot of pick and rolls, but at least Tatum in a pick and roll with Cantor or Tice. Force Embiid to make decisions. Force Embiid to go out there. He'll get foul calls. Like they'll call fouls on Embiid. Get him frustrated. I thought the Celtics did a bad job of kind of going away from that. And I think after the break, we'll talk a little bit more about the bad job that they did in the missed offensive opportunities. Take a break. Come back with more here on the Locked On Celtics podcast.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Before the break, I was talking about Joel Embiid and attacking him. The Celtics did a bad job of attacking in general in this game. There were a couple of instances where I felt like they were going a little too ISO, a little too hero ballish. And I think that continues to be a little bit of a problem. Now, I asked Brad Stevens about it, and it was a little bit of a dismissive, I'm not too worried about that kind of answer. But the answers post-game that did concern me, and I say concern, not like, oh, I'm so worried, but still, there is concern. You know, it's not, it, you have concerns. And so when Kemba Walker and Gordon Hayward talked about missing guys on back cuts, and I thought, now Kemba mentioned it, and no one really followed up on it. Then Hayward mentioned it on his own, and it kind of caught my attention because I thought, well, it's another guy that's talking about back cuts. And the thing about the back cut is it's a beautiful play when it works because a guy cuts, you know, there's an overplay. The defender is kind of really playing up on the offensive player, and the offensive player reads it. The guy, the ball handler reads it. And the offensive player makes a break in the opposite direction, quickly changes direction. Boom, the pass is there. Backdoor cut layup. The Celtics don't do it a bunch. They're about the middle of the pack in the NBA in backdoor cuts. They're top 10 in scoring. They draw a lot of fouls on that. But that is a function of team chemistry. Now, Boston's team chemistry is very good as far as off the court. They like each other. They do things together. They had the Thanksgiving dinner. They were in New York for Thanksgiving, and you know, Kemba and his mom, like his mom, they worked something out, like and made a big Thanksgiving dinner, like that kind of stuff. They had movies and escape rooms and all that shit. Like that's all stuff team chemistry wise. That's great. They like each other. Now they get to the team chemistry stuff on the court, and now Gordon Hayward's been out for 4 weeks. This was his second game back. You've had other guys, obviously, Kemba missed the game. Marcus Smart's been missing some games. Smart is a guy that can really, I mean, he's great at finding the backdoor cuts and sniffing things out and orchestrating and telling guys, this is what you should do, this is where you should go. So not having Marcus Smart in this situation really hurt. That's one of his strengths. He's a very high IQ guy. You need a high IQ guy to go out there and see these cuts and make them. But it's also a function of playing together and for more than a couple of months. And it's kind of really hard to, we're so in the middle of the weeds of a season here that it's been 2 months. It's only been 2 months and there's still a lot of basketball to be played. The Celtics still have work to do in recognizing when a cut is available and the guys who have the ball to understand that the cuts are being made. And I think, and I asked a couple of the guys this, they didn't, I don't know if they just didn't want to agree with me or if they didn't want to sell anybody out. I don't know. I think that the Celtics still have a little too much hero ball in them. That, like I said with Jason Tatum, I thought he was pressing, forcing those floaters when other plays were available. That wasn't the right play. Those weren't the right play. I think Jaylen Brown got into a habit. He was being guarded by Matisse Thybulle. And for some reason, he really wanted to go one-on-one against Matisse Thybulle. Now, Thybulle is a really good defender, even though he's a rookie. He's just an elite-level defender. There was one play where Jaylen Brown, he flopped against Jaylen Brown, okay? But up until that flop, which, hey, Marcus Smart does it, and he draws the call, and we love it. So I'm not going to go too crazy about that flop. Because he sold a foul. It was, maybe it should have been a no call, whatever, fine, I get it. But that entire sequence where Jaylen Brown drove and kicked it and, you know, kind of relocated out to the three-point line, Thybulle was with him the entire time. Didn't lose sight of him. that which people are prone to do, like any defender, never mind a rookie. He was right there the whole time. And the reason why Jaylen Brown was even in a position to commit an offensive foul was because Thybulle had so expertly stayed with him throughout all of that and was all up in his face. And Jaylen was just trying to make a play. And he got called for the foul. He did lower his shoulder a little bit. He may have extended his arm a little bit. It looked like it could have been an offensive foul. And just depending on the angle of the referee, they called it. Okay? You can say it was a bullshit call. Fine. I'm not going to argue with you. But all I'm saying is defenders sell those fouls. We've got one of them on this team. And that's going to happen from time to time. Can't love it from Marcus Smart and then get mad over here. It's just how it works. So Thybulle was defending the hell out of Jaylen Brown, and Jaylen just tried to match it head on. So that feeling, that attitude, I think, trying to find your own offense, and not they're not the only two guys that were guilty. Kemba Walker had a couple of possessions where he just dribbled, and tried to hunt for his own shot. Frankly, one of them was against Thybulle as well, and just you're just not going to shake that guy. You got to set picks on him. Other guys have had those moments, and that's going to happen as well in basketball games. I don't want to be like you should never try to cook somebody individually. That these guys are talented enough to do it, but at the same time, if we're talking about missing opportunities to get guys on cuts. That's what that attitude, I think, that kind of let me go find my offense, especially on a night where Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown don't have it going to find their own offense, trying to find their own offense. I think that's part of why cuts aren't being recognized, or guys maybe not even making those cuts, because you can't see the eyes of your teammate to say, hey, you know, like a lot of that is just visual confirmation. I see you, you see me, boom, I'm gone. And if I don't see you seeing me, then I'm not going to make that cut because it's not going to be there. Now, also, some guy, you should make that cut. And Gordon Hayward said that as well, that sometimes guys have to make those cuts just because that's going to draw help no matter what. You know what I mean? So let's say the same scenario presents itself and a guy makes a cut, even when the offensive, his teammate, it doesn't see it. Well, any player who is a threat to score that's going towards the basket draws, he has gravity. He's going to draw defenders because he's a threat to score a layup or a dunk. So you still have to respect that. And a lot of times a guy is going to cut, and I'll read the quote right here from Gordon Hayward. Sometimes you got a back cut, and if it's not going to be there, it'll open up something else because they'll have to help. And I think getting player movement, ball movement is where we'll be at our best. And that's one of the things we talked about, how the Celtics kind of matched Embiid. The bigs did their job, even though they didn't stop Embiid, they matched him by scoring almost as much as him. Okay. So the wings are out there. They're not cooking on their own. They have to move the ball and they have to get guys easy buckets, those backdoor cuts. That's the way to do it. You got to still take advantage of those opportunities. When a team like Philadelphia is all up on you and pressuring you, the opportunity to cut is there. There's always an opportunity to do something to react to a team's defense. So the Boston Celtics missed that opportunity. And I think some of it is just going to be more just playing time together. And some of it has to be a more kind of team mentality that sometimes these guys just have to get it out of their head that they're going to do it on their own And even if they think they're trying to win, you still get a little too much of a taste of last year, where it's too much individual forays into trying to score and not enough moving the ball around. Back to wrap up this podcast after this. Follow us on our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. I'll tell you, the overwhelming feeling I got out of Brad Stevens after the game was positive. And he has a tendency to play that role, I think, when things are going great and they win. He'll find a thing to pick on, you know, in his not too high, not too low kind of mentality. Celtics were down after this game. That was a tough loss. And he goes in and is kind of like, you know what? Philly did a great job. I'm not too worried about the defense, the 3-point defense. They, you know, obviously Mike Scott, he was 5 of 7 from three. Those are the only, all he did was shoot threes, and he hit his first four, and that was a big deal for them because that helped them stay in it early. If it wasn't for him hitting those threes, would have been obviously a very different game. You know, he said you can't overreact to Embiid hitting a few. That Embiid goes out there and he's going to hit one. He's so much more dangerous rolling to the rim, and he's not very dangerous hitting from three. That you play the percentages. But he was positive. Now, speaking of playing the percentages, there was a little issue there in the last 34 seconds or so. So Brad Stevens decided that they were going to do the hack a Simmons, and they intentionally fouled Ben Simmons, 34 seconds left, and the Celtics down 2. Now, he was playing the percentages and saying, well, Simmons is like a 54% free throw shooter, so maybe he'll miss one. Now, it's a 2-point game. They have the opportunity to kind of run that clock down to 11 seconds and or somewhere in that range. And really, if they score, there's not enough time for the Celtics to get the ball back. So Stevens decides to go ahead and foul Simmons. Now, Simmons makes 2. If he had made 1 and the percentages had worked out and Tatum came down and hit a 3 like he did, then we're looking at a tie game instead of the Celtics being down 1. And then Embiid comes down and gets fouled, and he makes a couple of free throws, but that puts him up 3 versus up 2. And then after the free throw, I think the pressure got to the Boston Celtics. They got to Tatum, and I don't know. This is just such a bad play. Embiid makes 2 free throws and they're up 3 with 25 seconds left. And then Tatum gets the ball out of bounds and he doesn't really run the baseline. He doesn't take a timeout. He just throws the ball out of bounds. Now, you can say there was a foul on Richardson on the play. That, sure, they could have easily blown that whistle. Also, though, what could have easily happened was Jason Tatum, off of a made free throw, can run the baseline. Jaylen Brown's running back towards him. Run the baseline. Go to your right and just get that ball in bounds. He didn't have to stand there where he stood. That's a mental mistake. You had a timeout. You could have taken that timeout and advanced the ball. And just, even if they wanted to save the timeout, run the baseline. And make sure you get that ball in bounds. Throwing that at that angle, even without the foul, is tough. You're asking a lot, and it's just putting yourself in a position where something like that can happen. Okay? They didn't blow the whistle. That's bad. But you have to put yourself in a position to make the play, and it's just a bad mental mistake. So Brad Stevens rolls the dice, and that Simmons free throw thing doesn't work out. Then they come down and they hack Embiid because, I mean, the ball was coming into him, and they needed to kind of play the clock. They just wouldn't have had enough time to play defense and let Philly kind of run that clock down. They just wouldn't have had enough time. So they had to play the clock. And so they fouled Embiid. If they had gotten the ball in, 3-point game, who knows what happens if you get the ball inbounds. You can go get a quick shot, come down and play the foul game again, and try to see if you can foul Simmons or foul Thibault or somebody else who's in there who's not a great 3-point shooter. They just threw that. They literally threw that game away at the end. Couple of mistakes there that just kind of inexcusable. But like I said before, Brad Stevens is kind of thinking like that. That's how it happens. Obviously, there were mistakes, but he chose to be more positive than negative because that's what Brad Stevens does. Shout out to Daniel Tice, season high 16 points. Want to just get a couple of these extra things in here before I wrap up the show. Shout out to the Boston fans who gave Al Horford a nice standing ovation when he was shown on the Jumbotron. The Celtics didn't do a video tribute. They didn't put a whole video together. They just showed Horford on the bench. Couple of boos somewhere in the crowd, I guess, but a smattering, as they say, of the boos. Mostly it was a standing ovation. So shout out to the crowd for proper recognition. I thought that was the right thing to do. And one other note here, Kemba Walker finished with 29-8, now averaging 31.7 points and 7.3 assists over his last three games. That's it. That's the podcast. Hope you're enjoying your Friday. Glad you're taking this podcast along with you, wherever you're going, whatever you're doing, very much appreciate it. I'm sorry if I seem kind of out of it. It's 3 a.m. and I'm, on this back-to-back. Maybe my performance is a little bit impacted. So one thing I will say, the Celtics are off the next 3 days. They're off Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So with no new things to talk about, I don't think there's going to be a Monday show. So because of this weird quirk in the schedule, I'm not 100% sure, but might not have a Monday show. Might have to do something on Tuesday to talk about whatever happens on Monday. Just stay tuned. That'll be announced on the Locked On Celtics Twitter at LO Celtics. Follow me on Twitter at RedsArmy_John. If you're a new listener, hope you enjoyed the show. I guarantee you there'll be better shows moving forward for sure. So subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. All of you regular listeners, hope you can find it in your heart to give me a 5-star rating and a good written review and share the podcast. Tell everybody, listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Here on the Locked On Podcast Network.